Alice Kandel has two rooms in her New York apartment dedicated to her collection of Tibetan Buddhism iconography. That's after she donated 250 objects to the Smithsonian, and 124 of those are now on view at the Carlos Museum on the campus of Emory University. The objects are in the form of a shrine, respecting the specific arrangements and practices of Tibetan Buddhism. But Alice herself is not Buddhist. Gabby Watt spoke with her about her life as a collector and her love for Tibet's iconography.
You know, I'm not a Buddhist, but when I was in college, really, I was exposed to the beauty of this whole civilization. I went to a country called Sikkim, S-I-K-K-I-M, which is a small country on the border of Tibet, very Tibetan. And I was just overwhelmed with the beauty of the, not just the art, the whole culture, the people, the scenery, the clouds, the air, never left me. And so at that time, nothing, of course, was for sale during a going Buddhist country. They don't sell their pieces. And I just kept going back and back and back. Tibet was closed. There was a war going on. The Chinese were taking over. They invaded it. And then there was the Cultural Revolution going on where they were destroying 6,000 monasteries the Chinese destroyed. They dynamited them to rubble, to nothing. So I couldn't get into Tibet, but this was the closest thing to it. It was a very Tibetan country, and I just fell in love with all of it.
When were you actually able to start collecting objects?
You know, it wasn't until my children were in college, really, or high school anyway, that I was able to collect these things. I was a little freer at that time, and also the pieces were more available. A friend of mine said to me, I'm going to take you to Brooklyn. And I said, I don't want to go to Brooklyn. He said, just get in the car. And he took me to a place in Brooklyn of a friend of his, and I walked into the apartment, and there was a Tibetan shrine that gentleman had been collecting for years. It was in his bedroom. Actually, he lived in there. And I just felt totally at home and totally comfortable and at peace when I walked into that room. And eventually he said that he was willing to part with it. And then I collected from there, and he was able to guide me to the families. Actually, he knows the families that brought the pieces over with them when they left Tibet. But these were pieces that were brought to use. They'd been in their families for centuries, and when they came out, they were able to bring some of these pieces with them, the wealthier people that could get out. And eventually, the next generation, or they needed to part with them in order to live in America. And we promised that they would be kept in a sacred space, that they would not be thrown into the art market, that they would not just be sold somewhere. And so they were more comfortable letting us have them.
So why weren't they able to hold on to them?
Well, I mean, they may have been wealthy in Tibet, but that wasn't a culture that was movable, and they needed the money, and they needed the money, really.
So when the shrine was in your home, for you, what was the function of having it there?
What does any collector do with his collection of anything? Art, modern art, or contemporary art, or statues, or anything. It was there for beauty and for my enjoyment as being beautiful. There are many collectors who collect many things. I know somebody collects blue glass bottles, and he loves his blue glass bottles. And I loved my statues. They were together as a shrine because I felt they needed to be. At first, they were just pieces around the house. But after I got a number of them, I realized they needed to be together. And eventually, I realized that this had to be in the public domain. It didn't belong to me anymore.
As a collector, what do you think drives the specific thing that you become interested in?
You know, when I gave it away to the Smithsonian, Philip Rudko and I looked at each other and said, are we going to continue to collect now after we've given it away? And Philip said to me, don't talk to me about collecting Tibetan art. It's an addiction. It's easier to get off of heroin. And you know what? He was right, because I went right back to collecting more. And now I have a new shrine room. It took 5-6 years. But I have another one, which I love just as much.
And do you, so in your actual home now, is it just cluttered with objects?
I have one room, actually two rooms, that are shrine rooms. And they are not cluttered, but they are organized in a very specific way, where certain objects are next to other objects. There are many Tibetan things that don't belong in a shrine room at all. And I used to have them. I gave them all away to the Tibet House and the Rubin Museum. Now we're very careful what we pick and choose. And they're very specifically placed, and they're certain kinds of deities are placed under a canopy of brocade, and there's certain very pre-prescribed positions and numbers of butter lamps and numbers of water cups that are put in front of each object. So it's not clutter. It's organized in a way that it should be. And then the rest of the house is not.
And you say should be so that it's reflecting what an actual Buddhist shrine would include?
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. And I have advisors and I have monks periodically coming in to help us place objects. Yes.
Obviously, you have great reverence for the culture and for the icons, but how do you approach Buddhism, something you don't practice? And as a Westerner, how do you approach the culture without appropriating anything or without being disrespectful?
Appropriating means looting, and that was an issue that we had very much on our minds always. And we went to the Dalai Lama and asked him what he thought. He said basically he was very happy to have this preserved in the way it should be, in the way it would have been in Tibet, and that the Tibetan people need help in preserving these things because the land has been ravaged, had been. They're trying hard to replace it now. In many cases, countries are looted. But in this case, these pieces came out and they've been put back into a reverent, sacred space.
What do you hope that other people can gain from seeing the shrine?
Each piece is very beautiful, and each piece has its own special calling and its own special meaning. But together, put together as a shrine room, there's a certain spiritual experience that emanates from it. I cannot explain it. I can only tell you that the comments of everybody have been the same as my feeling when I go in there. It's a sudden spiritual feeling of peace and happiness and understanding. And I said, I'm not a Buddhist, but whoever goes in there seems to have the same experience. It may be only 5 minutes, and it may be lasting forever.